Dear friends, wedding in Cana. The story in John's Gospel is well known. Thank you. I always struggle with technology. The story itself is well known, and also you studied this story recently with Valerie in your Bible study meetings. Well, it is chapter 2, and you at the moment you are at chapter 15. Okay, 13. Okay, but still I hope you remember the story. And you know that when we read a story from the Bible, we should first try to understand what is going on in it before we begin to think about its meaning for us. Well, then, Cana, a village somewhere in Galilee, in the area where Jesus is at home. There is a wedding in Cana, and Jesus and his disciples are invited to it. Such a wedding used to be a big event with many guests. It lasted several days, maybe a week. A grand celebration. Disagreements and disputes are forbidden. Now they celebrate. I imagine they were merry, dancing, enjoying good food and drink. The wine, an expression of joy, flowed. The Bible speaks of wine as of a manifestation of God's blessing. Wine belongs to celebration and joy. After all, even the kingdom of God is presented as a great feast. We read of a wedding banquet. Jesus' mother was there. She must have been on the organizing team because she was probably the first one to notice they were running low on wine. And that was a very big problem. If something like that had happened to us, we would have handled it smoothly. We would find a sober driver among the wedding party and send him or her to the nearest Tesco or Globus. And if no driver could be found, we'd phone for wine to be delivered to the venue. The financial side of the things could be handled with a loan arranged online, just all in a few clicks. Things were worse in Cana. How can they get the wine in a hurry? Without wine, the wedding would have ended in shame, and the newlyweds would have had a very bad omen of their life together. People there were very particular about hospitality. Not pouring the guests wine was a terrible insult. Jesus' mother told her son, and he understood what she was asking and objected quite firmly, "I don't need you to tell me what to do." Interestingly, Jesus' mother accepted the objection and did not consider it a refusal. She only told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And they did exactly as Jesus instructed. They filled the jars with water, drew from them, and took it to the chief steward of the feast. He tasted the wine. And he wondered how good the wine was, since the feast had been going on for some time and might be even coming to a close. Why did Jesus do it? And actually, what did he do? In the last verse, read from the Gospel of John, we hear, Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. What was that sign? A miracle? The turning of water into wine? But who saw it? Jesus didn't wave his hands. He didn't spell out magic formulas. Nothing noticeable happened. Only the servants knew that water had been poured into jars. And now the chief steward declares that what he drinks is delicious wine. Perhaps the disciples were watching and were impressed, and they believed. I wish I could tell stories like John. He can say so much in so few words. It's impossible to cover everything in one sermon. The motives in this story are many. What caught my attention this time was the fact that Jesus' first sign, the miracle, happened rather inconspicuously. The guests at the wedding didn't catch anything. The bridegroom didn't seem to notice that there was any danger of shame. And it worked out fine. So where is the problem? The most important thing about the whole situation was that Jesus was there. He saves. Surely, it's not about life this time. Lack of wine is not life-threatening. It's about joy. Jesus, completely unnoticeably, most of the wedding party doesn't notice, Jesus saves the joy. And the servants poured water into the jars and drew wine out of them. A miracle. But what kind of miracle is it if no one actually saw it happen? There was nothing visible. Only the result is obvious, that it happened. And John calls it a sign. A sign is for us to examine what it refers to. What is the meaning of what we see or experience? Here, Jesus did the sign in a way that only a small circle of people knew about it. Perhaps they were the ones who had their eyes open to the workings of God. At the wedding in Cana, Jesus saved the newlyweds from the impending shame without their knowing it. We may recall situations in our own lives when God has saved us from obvious impending danger. But do you realize that God may have saved us many times from things we didn't even know were threatening? I believe that God in Jesus Christ comes into the world and intervenes on our behalf. Do we perceive that? Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. The sign is for those who have their eyes open to something that is not just naturally visible. We need a sign to understand, A sign is for people who would want to know where to go. And the first opening apt sign was wine. Delicious, evoking joy. Of course, any amount of wine will be drunk at some point, even a large quantity like they had in Cana. What's left of it for us? What was left was the message that we had something to look forward to. It's a message from Jesus' disciples who believed in him then. A message for those who want to know if Jesus can be trusted. Since the time of Jesus, Jesus' followers have testified that Jesus helps and saves, both obviously and inconspicuously. And the best is still yet to come. Amen. I invite you to prayers, silently or aloud, as you wish.